I hope your hearts were lifted up this morning. Mine was. How can you not be when you sing these words, you know, of Christ being our firm foundation? 10,000 reasons, right, to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and to abide in our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and the last in Christ alone. There's this glorious truths, and those are the same truths that we are studying in the book of Philippians. Church, we have walked together through this letter of Philippians now for the last 7 months. And I'm kind of getting a little sad here because we're coming to the end of it. And I think we could go back and back and continue to study and go deeper and deeper and deeper. But the one thing that Paul, the author of this book, he's been lifting our eyes to Christ. When we're tempted to become consumed with our own circumstances, Paul says, he points us to Christ. When we're tempted to trust in ourselves, he points us to Christ. And when we're tempted to find our identity in our own accomplishments, Paul again points us to Christ. And it kind of gets a little personal. When we're tempted to treasure the things of this world, Paul points us again to Christ. He's always been pointing to Christ. And again, Paul is leading us to see our Savior more clearly, to love him more deeply, and to trust him more completely. That's where Paul's been leading us. And this is not accidental, because Paul knows that lasting transformation of a believer's life does not begin with techniques. It doesn't begin by, if you follow these set of rules. It begins with the greater vision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where Paul's been pointing. And the more clearly we see him, the more confidently we walk, the more deeply we treasure him, and less tightly do we hold on to the things of this world. And again, Paul hasn't been teaching us how to live. He's been showing us the glory of our Savior. And he even said it himself in chapter 3. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that is the heartbeat of Paul, and that is the heartbeat of me, mine, and I hope that is the heartbeat of this church and every believer, that the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, is greater than anything in this world. And last week, if you are here with us, and for our visitors, welcome. But last week, we were in verses 4 and 5, and last week we came across one of the sweetest truths in this letter. In fact, I believe it's the hinge that controls all of these verses from verse 1 of chapter 4 through 9. There are these commands. But these commands are only possible because of this truth. In verse 5, it says that the Lord is near. So I want to invite you, so if you're sitting there, to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to get there in a bit, but just so you have your Bibles open. And our text this morning is chapter 6 and 7. But I just want to remind you, last week, the text said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. And those words are not only to just comfort us, they are the foundation of everything a believer needs to command the commands of Paul. Because the Lord is near, we can rejoice. Because the Lord is near, we can respond with gentleness and kindness to one another. Because the Lord is near, the church should live in unity. And our spiritual stability is not rooted in our own strength. It is rooted in the nearness and in the person of Jesus Christ. But this morning, Paul's going to take us even deeper. He's going to show what it looks like to actually live as if the Lord is near. Because many of us know that truth. We know the Lord is near. But we go through our day, we're busy. We live in America. We have things that are to make our lives easier. We got microwaves. We got phones. We got everything that faster. Cars are faster. Our internet's faster. So we can get things so we can have more time to do nothing. And yet we're so busy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Just think, our moms, and many of you moms, you used to like have to make things by scratch, right? You get the ingredients, you get the herbs, and you cut them up, you peel, you do all these things, and you cook, and it sits, and it boils, and you cook and cook all day long. Now we just press the microwave button, and we get a whole meal. It's crazy, and yet we have no time. So how does the nearness of Christ change the way we carry the burdens of life? And friends, this is a good question, because every one of us today in this room walked in here carrying something. Every one of us walked in this room carrying something. Some are carrying burdens that no one even knows. Some are carrying burdens they're concerned for their children, their grandchildren. Some are carrying difficult marriages. Some are facing failing health. And every day, I need bigger and bigger script because I can't see. Every day, I'm losing my eyesight. Every day, every person here, something is carrying something. You're discouraged. Maybe you're carrying financial insecurity, uncertainty. Some are anxious about tomorrow and what it's going to bring. Some of you may not even be able to put it into words, but I promise you, you are carrying something. And you know what? God knows that, and that's what Paul knew. Paul knew that. That's why he wrote this. Because you got to remember, Paul wrote these words not in some quiet cabin up in the hills. He wrote this letter in prison, under shackles. A man who was suffering, who had been beaten. He had experienced hardships. So he writes to this church that he knows that could face conflict. And this was written to ordinary Christians trying to remain faithful. And he wrote this for you. He wrote this for me. And that's what makes Paul, what he says, so beautiful. Because what we see this morning, he doesn't shame people. He doesn't minimize burdens. He doesn't pretend that our circumstances aren't difficult. He doesn't act like, or doesn't say like, oh, life is, you know, just get over yourself. He doesn't do that. He doesn't only say, stop worrying. He directs us to someone. He directs us again to the presence of Christ. And I know you guys have sat under good teaching in this church before I came here. You sat under Pastor Ray. And I know he's taught you these things. But doesn't this sound like someone else? Doesn't this sound like our Lord Jesus Christ? If you remember in Matthew chapter 6, he talked to those who were anxious. What did he do? He repeatedly directed them and directed their attention away from their anxiety, but to who? To the Father. Do you remember that text, Matthew chapter 6? He says, look at the birds. And you know what? I Googled this. When Jesus was alive, when he said, look at the birds, he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you know how many birds were most likely on the earth at that time? 200 billion birds. That sounds ridiculous. Right now, we have about 50 billion birds on our planet right now. and God feeds every one of them. Think about flowers. He says that, look at the lilies. God clothes them. And then Jesus says, do you remember, are you not more valued than they? In other words, Jesus is saying the Father knows, the Father sees, and the Father cares. And Paul here in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he's just echoing his master Jesus. And the answer to an anxious heart is not first fix your circumstances. It is a greater confidence in the character and the care of our Heavenly Father. That's where it stands. But I also want to be clear before I go any further. This sermon is not about 5 biblical techniques to overcome or manage anxiety. That's not what this sermon's about. This is not a sermon on stress management. If that's all you leave with this morning, then I have failed. So please, do not leave here with a list of things to do or principles that you have to follow. Because this passage is ultimately about something greater than any anxiety that this world has to offer. This passage is about God. It's about God. It's about the Father who invites His children to bring every burden to Him. It's about the peace of God that guards His children when circumstances do not change. But ultimately, it's about Jesus Christ, through whom anxious sinners have confidence to access the Father, where we find our hearts can be secure, our minds can be just strengthen. So my prayer this morning is not only that we learn about anxiety, because we will, and it's not only that we learn about prayer. My prayer this morning is that you will see God more clearly, you will love Christ more deeply, and you will trust God more completely. So with that, let's read our text this morning. Please stand for the reading of God's word, if you can. We are in chapter 4 of Philippians, and I want to start with chapter 5, and we're just going to read 5, 6, and 7. Here's God's word, perfect and inerrant. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father God, we come before you this morning. What a privilege it is to open your word freely, not being fearful of people coming in to arrest us, to take us away for our faith in your Son. Lord, we live in a country, Father, where we have the right to gather, and we are so blessed by that. And Lord, we know that right now, after reading your word, that you have spoken to us through your word. And you have reminded us that we do not have to carry our burdens of this life alone. Lord, your word has invited your children to come. So, Father, we ask that you will come. Holy Spirit, come in our midst. Comfort those who need comforting. Correct those who need correcting. Establish those, Lord, who need establishing. Lord, we invite you this morning to be here. Will you forgive us when we at times look at our circumstances more than we look at you, our Savior and God? I pray the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. I pray that He will show us the goodness of our Father, the sufficiency of our Christ. Teach us, Lord, to what it means to rest in the peace that only you can provide. May Christ be exalted. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, I don't know if you noticed, but what Paul just did, he begins here this text with the first word is anxiety. But then he takes us to God. And then he begins with our burdens, but then he takes us again to God's peace. And it begins in our hearts and our minds, troubled by the uncertainty of life. But then in verse 7, did you see, look at in verse 7, just look down at your text, the last three words. All of this anxiety, burdens, the last three words, it ends in Christ Jesus. Friends, there is a direction here from our anxiety to our Father, from our burdens to His peace, and from ourselves to our Savior Christ. And Paul is basically telling us, he's refusing to allow us to be controlled by our fears and what frightens us. It's as if, again, like last week, he's lifting our chin to stop looking at your situation and look to the Father. Look to me, Jesus Christ. Last week, again, we heard that the Lord is near. And now Paul's going to tell us what it means when the burdens of this life are heavy. Because the Lord is near, we don't have to carry them alone. That's what Paul's saying. And that brings us, if you're following along in our notes, point number one. The Father invites His children to bring every burden to Him. That's where we're at. Philippians 4:6. But again, I just want to remind you, everything that grows out of this comes from the previous verse in chapter 5, where the Lord is at hand. The Christ is near. And because Christ is near, God's children never have to carry a burden again or alone. That's better. God's children never carry their burdens alone. That's what God and Word is saying. But look at Paul's first command. He says, do not be anxious about anything. That's crazy. But before we understand what Paul is commanding, we need to understand what he is not saying. Paul is not, again, he's not condemning every moment of concern or sorrow. He's not telling believers to pretend life is easy and everything's okay. He isn't commanding emotional denial. Again, remember who's writing these words. Paul knows what it means to carry real burdens. This man has suffered. He's been beaten, imprisoned. His own future is uncertain. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And he's carried the weight of the churches that he has planted. Man, this guy is under a lot of pressure. So when he says, do not be anxious about anything, he's not minimizing suffering. I got to say that fast. Maybe that's my problem. He is redirecting our suffering. He's not saying, hey, it's not real. He's redirecting our suffering. He's teaching us that God's children are never meant to carry life's burdens apart from God. Friends, anxiety is what happens when our hearts begin to carry what God entrusts us, that what God has continually invites us to entrust to Him. God wants us to carry our burdens to Him, but we, in our flesh, we like to carry our own burdens. We like to hold on to tomorrow. But we're living today. And instead of resting in the God who already holds tomorrow, Which, isn't that what Jesus said? Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Friends, Paul is saying, we were never given tomorrow to carry today. Tomorrow's tomorrow. You might not make it to tomorrow. Tomorrow does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And notice what follows. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But then the great three-letter word, but, that little word changes everything. Paul does not merely tell us to stop being anxious. He replaces anxious self-reliance with confident dependence upon God. What does he say? He says, it's not about holding to your burdens. It's about turning to someone. And he says, but in everything. Look what he says here. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, which means nothing. Do not be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And you, friends, you don't miss this contrast. He goes from nothing to everything. He says, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about anything. Do not be, but in everything, be in prayer. Friends, nothing is to rule our hearts. Nothing is to control our hearts. And if it does, we need to bring it to our Father. And that's what this word everything means. It means exactly what it says. What does everything mean? It means every circumstance, every situation, every concern. And Paul is saying, the Christian life is not learning how to carry lighter burdens. It's not about carrying lighter burdens. It's learning to carry every burden. Every burden to a greater Father. That's what it's about. Be anxious about nothing, for the Lord is near. But in everything, carry your burdens to God. And what Paul wanted here, he wants us to talk to God continually about our concerns. And everything, Paul says, everything is welcome to the Father. And friends, we don't live this way. We live every day. We get up in the morning. Our alarm clock goes off. We know we have to get to work. We have to do this. We got to do that. We got to make sure we have our cup of coffee. The kids are fed. Do I have gas in my car? And we just go, 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 go. But Paul says, in everything. We don't just bring spiritual things to the Father. He doesn't just say, bring only the really big things in life. Paul says, everything. Your fears, your children, your marriages, your finances, your health, your disappointments, your unanswered questions, your future. Friends, I take this to heart. I even pray for good parking spaces. I do. I'm always praying. Lord, you know, I come into parking lot. Lord, can I get a good parking spot? I don't want to park there. Or can I find some shade? And I verbalize it. That's what Paul's saying. Everything. And then when I do find that parking spot, I say, thank you, Lord. This morning, I couldn't see. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I pray my windshield wipers work. And they turned on because they've been kind of acting weird. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Andrew looked over at me like, what are you talking about? But everything, not just the big things. Everything means everything. Every burden has one destination. Everything belongs before our Heavenly Father. So how do we do this? How do we bring them? Well, Paul continues on. He says, look in verse 6. Again, verse 6b, you do this by bringing prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Again, notice the language here. These words start piling up. He says prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. And friends, this is like a child freely speaking, talking to his parents. It's like, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? Dad, I need this, I need that. Mom. That's what we are to be with our Abba Father, literally in everything. But we're walking around just kind of like this all the time, carrying all our burdens. Prayer, our prayer is dependence with the voice. I love that. One of my professors used to say that. Prayer is dependence with the voice. We show our dependence on God. I need you. I need your help. Help me with this. Everything. But let me just break down these two words, supplication. Supplication is bringing our particular needs before Him. Like, it's just simple. It's like, Lord, I need your help. That's what supplication means. Lord, I need your help. Request are specific things. So we bring, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. Shepherding Lone Hill Church. Oh. But now I bring them requests. Lord, I need your help. How do I minister to this person? How do I serve this person? What's weighing on your heart? It's like at home, like, you know, like this, the request is like, Lord, I need your help. My child is struggling. Give me wisdom. So we're to bring these prayers, these requests and supplications, and he says, with thanksgiving. That means that while even I'm telling God what I need, as I'm telling God, Lord, I need your help, I'm also remembering what my Father has already done. Thanksgiving looks backwards to God's faithfulness. Future grace is looking forward. Faithfulness is standing presently and looking back. Great is His faithfulness. And when we pray, we're to think, Lord, you've never left me. You've never deserted me. You've always been there for me. And we need to, our prayers need to be spoken and verbalized. And you know what it does? It gives us confidence and our Heavenly Father. If you're walking around today and you're kind of like lacking confidence in God, it's probably because you haven't spoken to Him verbally. You might speak to Him in your head, which is good. But speak it verbally. That's what Paul is saying. Thanksgiving remembers yesterday's grace while trusting God with tomorrow's need. I love that saying. Thanksgiving remembers yesterday's grace while trusting God with tomorrow's need. We need to acknowledge His goodness. We need to remember His provision. We need to thank Him for His past and present faithfulness. And in doing so, our hearts are strengthened. The God that I am asking for prayer today is the same God who has faithfully carried me to this place today. Now, this is what prayer doesn't do. I know this is really basic, but prayer does not inform God. Our Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Prayer does not persuade God to become more compassionate. Because God has loved you even before you've spoken a word. Prayer does not change God's character. You know what prayer does? It changes the posture of our own heart before an unchanging God. Prayer is faith refusing to carry alone what God has invited us to entrust to Him. Again, prayer is dependence finding its voice. It should become the natural language of every believer. You know, I'm not one of those real spiritual guys that spends 3-4 hours every morning praying. But there is not an hour of the day when I'm awake that I do not pray. You wonder, why do children run to a loving father? Because a child knows that they're welcome. That's what God is doing. So I'm here, Paul saying, look to the Father. He's there. Bring all your burdens to Him. He is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, bring your supplications, your burdens, your prayers, your requests with thanksgiving. Why do we do this? And how we do this? It's through Christ Jesus. We have been welcomed, friends, to the presence of our Heavenly Father by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, I think this is in your notes, says, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with true hearts and full assurance of faith. That's Hebrews 10. And then Hebrews 4 says why we can come with such confidence. We can come, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And friends, don't miss this. We don't pray to gain an audience with God. We pray because Christ has already secured an audience through His finished work on the cross. And we don't knock on heaven's door wondering if God's going to let us in. Friends, Jesus has opened the way to the throne room of God. It's been open. It's not closed anymore. He is the veil. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. And He is saying, come, come, bring everything. His blood has cleansed us. His righteousness covers us. He is our great high priest who represents us. And because of Christ, the throne room of a holy God has become for His children a throne of grace. And what do we find when we come to God? We find His mercy. We find His grace. We find our help in the time of need. And friends, that is all of Philippians 4:6. Paul is saying, bring your need. Come to the Father, and there is grace for you there. And friends, again, I said earlier, this is what Jesus told us in the Gospels. Listen to Matthew 11, and then I'm going to go to the Gospel of John. Listen to your Savior, Jesus. This is His words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice He doesn't say, I'm going to give you 5 techniques. He says, come to me. The Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Come to me and be satisfied. John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Come to me and be received. In chapter 7 in John, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And friends, the invitation over and over through the scriptures is, come to me. And that's why Philippians 4 is not ultimately a technique. It's not fundamentally an invitation, our principle, our program, our method. Our faith in Christ, Christianity, is an invitation to a person. Not to rules. Not to principles. Paul is pointing us to a person. Jesus Christ and the Father. And friends, and that is why every prayer you have ever uttered in your entire life, if you were a believer, matters to God. And the book of Revelation gives us this beautiful picture of our prayers. The prayers of the saints are an incense rising before the throne of God. Our prayers are going up before the throne of God. It's not just hitting the ceiling and falling. It's not just going in the air and dissipating. Our prayers are not disappearing. Our cries are not lost. Our Father in heaven hears every one of them. Because he cares. And you know how he cares? He cares more than the most tender parent in the world who cares for his child. I mean, you can think about that. And if you don't have children, how you care about things in life and how much you love that thing. God cares more than that. So, church, the question of verse 6 isn't just, how can I worry less? The deeper question is, will we put our trust in our Father? Give him all our burdens. Give him everything. And friends, it is a burden to go to work. It is a burden to raise your children. It is a burden to be in a marriage. Those are hard things because we're sinners. We're selfish. So, church, what are you carrying this morning? What tomorrow have you been trying to hold on to? What burdens have you been burning up hours and hours of your time and your thoughts? What fears keep returning? What have you been carrying? This morning, our text is saying, our Heavenly Father is inviting you to bring that to him. Bring it. Bring fear. Bring the uncertainty. Bring the child or the children that you worry about every day. Bring your diagnosis. Bring your financial need. Bring your broken relationships. Bring your unanswered questions. Bring your future that you cannot see. Paul is saying, bring everything to the Father. The Lord is near. And scripture is clear. Come to me. Jesus says, you are welcome here. He is gentle and lowly at heart. He will give you rest. Come. Let's move on. Point number 2. The Father provides peace that guards his children. We're in Philippians 4:7. Church, what happens when God's children bring every burden to their Father? We must ask this question. When we bring our burdens to God, what happens? Does he remove every trial? Of course not. He doesn't remove every trial. Does he promise to answer every prayer? No, he doesn't promise. the way we want Him to? Does He promise that tomorrow will be easy? No. He doesn't promise any of those things. But you know His promises? It's extraordinary. It's amazing. Look at verse 7. I'm going to read it again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, God may not immediately change the circumstances around you, but He promises to do something within you. He's going to do something within you. He gives us His peace. And not only does He give us His peace stands guard. Now let's go through that. The gift of God's peace. Now notice what Paul doesn't say. He does not say that God will always change our circumstances. This is what he says in 7a. He says, and the peace of God. And that little phrase, it deserves our attention. Because Paul does not say peace from God. He says the peace of God. And there's a difference, friends. Because Romans 5:1 says that therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we're not talking about peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about peace from God. And every believer, just so you know, as we're sitting here, every believer has peace with God. It automatically happens when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. You automatically have peace with God. The war is over. Your guilt should be removed. You have been justified. You've been reconciled. But here in Philippians 4:7, Paul is talking about something different. Not merely peace with God, again, but the peace of God. And what is the peace of God? It is the calm confidence that flows from resting in the character and the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. That is the peace of God. And church, peace is not something that we can manufacture. Peace is something God gives to His people. Now, I want you to think just quickly about God. Think about the character of God. Our God is not anxious. He's never overwhelmed. He's never confused. God is never uncertain. He's never frightened by tomorrow. He's none of those things. He has none of those issues. So therefore, He is so perfect. And He's going to share His perfection with us. He's going to share His peace with us. And friends, nothing has ever occurred to God. Nothing has ever caught God by surprise. Nothing has ever made God wonder. God has never wondered this. What am I going to do now? Our Father has never thought that. Because our God reigns. Our God reigns. And when His children pour out their hearts before Him in dependent prayer, He, our Heavenly Father, Paul is saying, gives them a peace that rests in who He is. And friends, that is astonishing grace. That means our peace is not found in our changed circumstances. It is found in the unchanging character of our God. And that should correct the way some of us pray. Because how often do we come to God and what we really want is, Lord, can you just fix the situation? Lord, can you just change this? Lord, can you remove this? Can you solve this? Can you make that person think like me correctly? And you know what? Except for that last prayer, we should bring those requests to God. Lord, remove this. Change this. Solve this. Fix this. Because Paul just told us to, because we are to bring everything, no matter how big or small. But sometimes the greatest gift God gives us is not the removal of a trial. It is Him giving Himself to us in the midst of the trial. God gives Himself in the middle of our trials. And sometimes God will calm the storm. He will do that. But sometimes God calms His child while the storm is raging. It's supernatural. It's this supernatural peace that you can't explain it. The world doesn't get it, but you just have peace. But then he goes on. He says, peace that surpasses all understanding. That's an amazing statement. Paul is not saying Christians are to stop thinking. He's not saying faith should ignore reality, because you know what? Life is hard. And we aren't to pretend that suffering isn't real. But what Paul means here is a peace from God that can't be explained. It just can't be explained by the circumstances around us. Because the world, they view peace differently. The world views peace that, oh, I got my test back from the hospital. Whew, it's clear. We think that's peace. Or, you know what? I got our taxes back and we're going to make so much money. Oh, whew, I got peace again. Oh man, me and so-and-so, we got back together, where we got our relationship back, and we think that's peace. Everyone understands that kind of peace. But Paul is talking about a peace that remains, because all those things could fall apart once again. Next year, you find yourself in another financial struggle. Relationships are always work. You need to work. But Paul is talking about a peace that remains before the news changes. Peace of God is when you know that you can trust Him before you get your diagnosis. There is a peace that you have even while your child is still wandering. There is a peace even when you know, man, I don't know how I'm going to make rent this week, this month. The world looks at the Christian and says, man, how can you have peace right now? Your friend just died. Your kids are just all over the place. You have cancer. I don't know. Just have peace. Because my Lord is near. He's with me. And He's so near that He's going to come soon. I'm going to be with Him. For to me to live, to die is gain, right? And this is the peace. Because my peace is not anchored in my circumstances. Our peace, friends, is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. If your peace is anchored in anyone else, you are on shifting sand. And friends, and when it's placed in Christ, that peace surpasses all understanding. It's not irrational peace. It is supernatural peace. Peace that only God gives. And listen to this. It keeps building. This whole thing keeps building. Because now we come to this beautiful part. What does Paul say? He says there in verse 7, He will guard your hearts and your minds. Friends, this word to guard, it is military language. And you remember, Paul is writing to the Philippians, who are a colony of Rome. So they knew exactly what military. In fact, this whole colony in Philippi were a lot of retired Roman soldiers. So the Philippians knew what armies looked like. They understood soldiers stationed at a post. They understood what it looked like to have a city guarded. And Paul paints this picture. He says that this peace of God, what it does for its children. And Paul is picturing this fortress, this mighty fortress, guarded, soldiers at every entrance, watching, protecting, standing. And Paul says, God's peace stands over you just like that, like guards. God guards our heart. He guards our minds. And notice, Paul does not say, he doesn't say, oh, guard yourself. He doesn't say that. He says the peace of God will guard. So who's doing the guarding? It's God. God is. And church, this has always been the case, the scripture. Psalm 121 says, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Jesus said to his sheep, of his sheep in John chapter 10, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Peter, in his letter, says, we are guarded by God's power through faith. And Jesus' half-brother Jude says, who is able, God, Jesus, he is able to keep you from stumbling. And friends, there's this thread through Scripture. It's always God who guards us, who keeps his people. And that has been Paul's message through the whole book of Philippians. It is God who began a good work in us in Philippians 1. Chapter 2, it is God working in you. And in chapter 3, Christ has made you his own. And now we see that Christ, God, guards his people. And friends, I said this throughout this whole series. Our confidence has never rested on how tightly we hold on to God. It rests on his grip on us. Our confidence in standing in Christ, our faithfulness is not our grip on God, but his grip on us. And Paul here says that this same God will guard your hearts and your minds. And you got to ask, well, why both? Why hearts and minds? Because anxiety attacks both. Anxiety attacks the heart, and then it attacks the mind, right? You know what anxiety does, right? The mind starts racing. You start thinking, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Oh my gosh, what about this? What about that? And soon the heart starts to follow. But God's peace steadies the heart, anchors the mind, keeps fear from becoming our master. And I just want to give us the last part here. How is this possible? Paul says, the last three words in verse 7, in Christ Jesus. Because we are in Christ Jesus, we can know the peace of God. Because we are in Christ, we can know our hearts and minds are secure. Friends, outside of Christ, there is no peace with God. Outside of Christ, there is no access to the Father. Outside of Christ, there is no lasting hope. But those who are spiritually united to him, who have faith in Christ, you're secure. Therefore, we rejoice in the Lord. We stand firm in the Lord. For he has made us his own. Friends, the final application to this text and to this sermon is not try to pray more. That is not where I'm leading you. It's deeper than that. Paul is calling us to run to your Father. Run to him, whose arms are open wide, and he says, come to me. Come to me. And he says, come every day. Bring every burden. Bring every fear. Bring every disappointment. Bring every unanswered question. Bring every joy. But run to him. You can trust him. Friends, we do not know what tomorrow brings, but God does. He will not abandon you, and you will never be outside of His presence. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning. Lord, we are far safer than we realize. And Lord, even when our faith is weak, You keep us. Help us, Lord, to rest in Your perfect peace. Rejoice in everything. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, Lord, help us to be speaking to You, trusting You, communicating with You in all things. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.